Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Always a pleasure to have the Major Billy Downer from DNR with us here on Sports Talk, another edition of SC Wild across South Carolina as we head into, well, it's eventually going to feel like fall out there. And as football season is upon us, Major, in your world, we got a couple of other big seasons about to open up.
Absolutely. So today is the first day of deer season for another large section of the state here. So game zones 3 and 4 now have their deer seasons in full swing with rifle. It's what we call rifle season or gun season. So folks are sitting in deer stands right now, sweating profusely, probably, but hoping to see some deer. And you know, I was talking to someone else earlier today. It is hot. And last year for me, I took a buck earlier than I have ever taken one in my life, September the 19th. And I don't normally hunt in September. But coming up in 2 days, we're looking at 60 degrees one morning, I think. So, yeah, wow, is right. How in the world? 61 degrees, I think, Friday morning or Saturday morning, one of the two. So we'll see that pans out. But certainly deer season has begun. Folks are hunting right now. It's hot. I don't enjoy hunting when it's hot. But there are opportunities to catch bucks unaware right now because it's early. And they really hadn't split up. They'll still be in a bachelor group sometimes. So you'll see multiple bucks together. That's not something you get to see later in the season at all when bucks become wary and reclusive. So there are some opportunities if you're willing to risk the heat. So that's deer season, again, opening up today. And then dove season opens up this weekend. Been a lot of questions about that this year. So I want to clarify that for folks to make sure everybody understands. Dove season opens up Saturday, September 4th. So the 4th of September through Monday, the 1st through the 6th, the season is from 12 noon until sunset. So you can't shoot until lunchtime, until 12 noon until sunset. Again, that was put into effect years ago. That's to help prevent folks from double dipping those first 3 days. Remember, we've talked about that field in the past. For folks that may not have heard that, 80% of our doves that are taken throughout the entire three seasons we have that go all the way into January are taken. 80% are taken the first 3 days of the season. That's how popular dove season is here in South Carolina, particularly opening weekend, Labor Day weekend. Always popular. People get together, barbecue, do all kind of things, and cook. But so the first 3 days, this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, you can't start hunting until 12 o'clock until sunset. Again, the limit this year on morning doves is 15. You know, folks keep forgetting that. The limit changed to 15. We had a little more of a liberalized season out, given to us by the federal government, by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So you can take 15 doves per day. So, again, remember, if you go to a dove hunt later on the season, you go to a morning hunt, and then you go to an afternoon hunt, you can't take but 15 for the whole day. So you can't go take a limit in the morning and then take a limit in the afternoon. You can only take one limit per day. It's important to remember that. And remember, plug guns for morning dove season and for your dove season. Guns must be properly plugged to not be able to carry more than 3 shells. You've got to have your hunting license and your migratory bird permit, the HIP permit, which is free. You've got to have that permit along with your standard, your state hunting license. Again, the combination of hunting license, hunting and fishing license gives you all that. Gives you the big game permit to hunt deer in South Carolina. Remember, you must have a hunting license and a big game permit. Those are things to think about. It is, like I said, the first day of September. So we've got 2 weeks until you can take does. Right now, the first 2 weeks here in game zone 3 and 4, you can't take does until the 15th of September. You can only take bucks, antler bucks. So remember, you have to have your tags with you. A couple of just quick reminders to folks, just remembering deer season coming in. You have to have your tags with you when you're hunting in your possession. So just make sure you got them there so that you can properly tag a deer if you take one. And do not move the deer until you have tagged it. So Just a couple quick reminders there.
All right. Let me throw the number out, 888-898-2525, South Carolina Education Lottery, lucky number, into SC Wild tonight. In fact, we have William, who's out on the Ace Basin, with a question for you, Major. So let's welcome William in. William, you're on SC Wild with Major Billy Downer.
Thank you, Joe. Major Downer, my question is, when does the deer season open in the Francis Marion Forest?
You're going to ask me the Francis Marion, of course, and I'm not. Hold on, we'll get to it. I'll get that out. So deer season in Francis Marion, I'm going to find it. I got to look. So that's in game zone. I'm trying to remember game zone 3, Upper Charleston unit, and let me check. Go give me a minute to look for that one, but I'll get the answer.
William, how's the fishing out there? Did we lose William? Is he gone?
He might be gone.
We've done a Google on that real quick, Major, and it says September 10th. Is that right, Pat?
Yeah, maybe don't quote me on that, but that's what I'm finding on this fs.usda.gov website. But is that...
Well, aren't y'all something beating me to the punch? That's okay.
It's called trying to avoid dead air.
Hey, you're doing good, yeah. I could keep talking while I'm looking, but yeah. If that's what it's telling you, it's probably correct.
September 10th.
I'm not familiar. I apologize. I am not familiar with that whole area down the Hell Hole and all that they call it on Francis Marion.
How good is that area for deer hunting, that Francis Marion Forest area?
It's very popular because there's so many. You got military families down there in Charleston. You've got folks have taken advantage. You know, we're not used to WMAs in the middle part of the state like they are in the upstate, in the lower part of the state here in our coastal areas. Just there's an abundance of U.S. Forest Service land. So I do want to take a moment to say this. We are really blessed in this state to have over 1 million acres in WMA program, the Wildlife Management Area program, public hunting land available in this state. And a lot of that is through the Sumter and Francis Marion National Forest. So thanks to our partners with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Forest Service, do a tremendous job with us to partner to provide public deer hunting opportunity through those WMAs. So that's really cool that we have those opportunities and folks really take advantage of it. Yes, they do some dog hunting there too, but the Francis Marion is an opportunity, a place for people to hunt and enjoy good deer hunting. So it is pretty good deer hunting for sure.
All right, William is still with us. He came back. He has a follow-up question. Go ahead, William. He just dropped. Okay. Well, he's probably in the Ace Basin where the
Major again.
Yeah, the cell service is probably up and down that Ace Basin, though. Now, I tell you what, the Ace Basin of South Carolina, for those maybe in parts of the state don't know what we're talking about, why don't you describe the Ace Basin, Major, and why it's a unique area of South Carolina?
Well, the Ace Basin, of course, is a combination of several of our coastal rivers, and I don't know all the names of the rivers in that. The Edisto, the Cumbee,
Ashtabula?
Ashapu. I do know that one. Yes, yeah. Ashapu. So it was a huge project way back when that put a lot of land into a protected area for waterfowl and for wetland birds species. Tremendous area for that. DU was involved, Ducks and Lemon was involved in that project, along with our department years back. And it protected thousands of acres of marshland from any potential development that could come in the future. But it is a tremendous area, for birding, bird watchers. The Ace Basin is big for that.
All right, William.
Yes, Mike, you got him back?
Yeah, William is back. Let's give him another shot. Okay, William, you got another question for the Major?
Yes, sir, Major Downer. I caught a fish, a pike, in the Horseshoe Creek, which is a branch off of the Ashapu River, and it was tagged. And I was just wondering, I never got anything back on, I don't know if that fish was placed in that creek or did he just end up there. And I just wondered how I could find it.
So the redfin pike?
I have the tag number.
Okay. And what kind of fish was it again?
It was a pike, some sort of a pike. I've never seen this fish before.
Okay. If you've got the tag number and all, before you get off the air, I'll let them get that from you and your number, and I'll get somebody to call you direct on that. How about that?
Okay. And in answer to Phil's question, Phil, rice fields, pot tails are on time, buddy. The only problem is, well, it's not a problem. They're too big. They're too big.
How can they be too big?
Well, they have a slot. Major Down will tell you all about that slot, and we can no longer keep three. We keep two, and I don't ever keep any anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
Talking about the redfish. Got to be on redfish. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Yep. But yeah,
and you're blessed to find big ones
in there.
Yep.
All right, William, you hang on, and Pat will get that tag number from you and your phone number, and we'll pass that on to Major Downer, and he'll have somebody get in touch with you.
Absolutely. Okay. We'll take care of that.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So he's talking about they're too big, which means it reduces the number they can pull in?
That's right. So your slot, we have a slot limit on redfish, and that is to protect the what we call the fish that are too young and the fish that are your breeder fish, the fish that literally are the ones that make sure you have future fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to put it. It is just that slot there to protect those fish because, again, red drum, again, is 2 per day, right? It's 15 to 23 inches is our slot limit. So the fish under 15 inches are young fish. When you let them get to that slot size, they're too young to take. And if you get a fish under 15, I'll be honest, you know, people fussing about, you know, flounder going to 16 inches from 15, you know, the 15-inch flounder were too small to really cut and get much meat off of anyway. And the, you know, redfish under 15 inches, that's not a whole lot of meat. And a lot of people don't even like eating redfish because of the red meat line, the red line in there, lateral line. You got that dark section you have to cut out. It's very fishy tasting in that area. So people cut that out. But that 15 to 23 inch, again, your fish over 23, and he was talking about catching big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Not uncommon for people in our state up and down the coast to catch 30-plus inch red drum. What a fight. Mm-hmm. I mean, a 22-inch red drum is going to give you a fight, but a 30-inch or better, a 36-inch, they are going to fight. and they'll put up, I mean, they are, you're going to be pulling for a while. It's a lot of fun. People take pictures and put them right back in the water. And it's great because you got a chance to catch that fish. Somebody's got a chance to catch that fish again. And you got those brood fish out there to continue with what we do with our natural population. Of course, we've done some, we still do a lot of release of redfish. And we might, that'd probably be a good show to do one day, Phil, to get our marine biologists to talk about that, what we do with our redfish and releasing them and how that works. Probably pretty cool. And talk about flounder a little more too, to get a little more in depth on where our flounder are. But again, redfish, that slot limit there to protect those big fish to do our brood stock. So important.
Yeah. All right, phone number 888-898-2525. Couple lines are open if you want to join in with Major Billy Downer tonight here on SC Wild from Sports Talk and from the Department of Natural Resources. So what are you hearing about offshore fishing this time of the year as we head into September?
Offshore fishing right now is not as big a deal right now, and you start getting this hot heat of the summer, not as much. But there are a couple of seasons still let's get into before we miss it on the show today. Just a couple of things. Our resident Canada goose season also started today, September 1st, and we'll roll through September 30th. That resident goose season is for statewide across the state, and so that's something to keep in mind. That first season is there. So you know, again, just to remind folks, during that September 1st, September 30th segment, the hunting season for Canada geese is allowed statewide. The remaining three segments exclude that portion of Clarendon County bounding to the north by basically the federal refuge system. So that's what we're kind of looking at there to protect the migratory geese that still come to our refuge.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to change some things around to allow for hunting in the northern part of Clarendon County. And parts of Sumter and Orangeburg where we have previously not allowed it before. That first season of Canada goose, it's hot, but a lot of people enjoy it. Again, as far as your geese, it's 15 total. I mean, it's a lot of geese you can take. I personally have not found a lot to do with the goose that I like, so I don't hunt geese, but there's plenty of people that do.
You haven't figured out how to cook them up?
Not in a way that I'm pleased with. A lot of people are using deep goose jerky. People will cut it real small, marinate it a lot, fry it. It just, goose meat, particularly Canada goose meat, is very dark,
mm-hmm.
is very gamey, that gamey word I like to use, and it is just hard to swallow sometimes. It's pretty tough.
You can't you can't treat it like chicken?
You cannot treat it like chicken. It does not taste like chicken.
Okay.
But we do use this season to control our population, and it's the only way some of our golf courses across the state are able to remove geese that cause tremendous damage to the greens. And I know that sounds funny.
Yeah.
But, Phil, you know you play golf around where geese are, and they cause tremendous damage to green space there.
Yeah.
On golf courses. So the hunting season is really our only way to remove the excess population of geese that we have.
Gotcha.
So, but again, coming up here in a couple days, our early teal season also begins coming up September 10th. That'll be before our next show. So September 10th through September the 25th, the early blue and green winged teal, already seeing some early teal showing up on local ponds. Some of our waterfowl impoundments folks, their private impoundments flood them earlier now to they plant rice and things to kind of attract teal in to have a little fun to the teal season. That is a 6 per day limit. Again, it cannot include anything else. It's just blue, green winged teal. And the shooting hours for that are, remember, it's 30 minutes after it's sunrise to sunset. And so you can't start. Usually you're able to go from 30 minutes before sunrise, but because teal this time of year can be easily misidentified with young wood ducks, immature wood ducks, smaller wood ducks there, we make you wait till sunrise so you can definitely properly identify the ducks. So that's the reason for that. But that teal season's there. We do have teal moving around. Ace Station's a good place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
On public water where you can. And our area lakes, Lake Marion, being a good place if you can find some shallow water where teal are hanging out. They like to hang out in shallow water. Coming through mostly blue wings right now. Heard of a few green wings showing up too, but a lot of blue wings. Chance to get a blue wing this time of year. There'll be eclipse plumage, which means they won't have full colors, but they do taste wonderful no matter how they're colored up. So teal is one of probably the best ducks to eat.
Do you want to, in our final 4 minutes here, since we're heading into another big hunting weekend for the deer folks and opening up another zone there, remind them about deer stands for those who haven't been on their deer stands in a while, what they need to do, what precautions they should take.
Absolutely. So we talked about this last show. Phil was talking about being careful. Make sure you've inspected your stands before you get in. Make sure you've checked your chains, straps. Folks use those nice nylon straps, and those are great. But squirrels like to chew on those things, and when you pop in that stand and put some pressure on it, it pops, and it flips you over to the ground, and you're up 16, 20 feet. It's going to hurt, and most likely going to cause you to break something. So inspect those stands before you get in it. Make sure you look for rust spots on metal stands. Wooden stands, if you're still using those, really check those out well. Another thing I'll tell you I've dealt with already today is trespassing. You know, make sure the property you're hunting on, that you know where your boundaries are. So many people go to a piece of property and put a stand up on a line, and I don't understand that. They want to put a deer stand on the property line where they can see the other property.
Hmm.
And they may have their corn pile, and they may be hunting the property they have permission to hunt. But nothing upsets a neighboring landowner more than seeing somebody sitting in a deer stand on the property line, because it automatically makes them question, are they going to shoot a deer on my land? Doesn't mean they are. But it sure looks bad.
All right, let me ask
so
you a question.
I always encourage people on that. Don't do that.
Let me ask you a question. That brings up a question in my mind. Why are property owners, it's probably a stupid question, but you can answer it. Why are property owners so sensitive about people shooting across the so-called fence line there and taking a deer off their property?
Because it's their land, and they don't want them to take something off their land that they may be trying to hunt. It gets into, you know, mine's mine and yours is yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay property taxes, you got property and you're managing deer or whatever on your property, the last thing you want somebody to put a stand up on the edge of it and look over your property and take a shot on your land where they don't have permission to hunt. That's stealing. Uh-huh. It's the same as stealing, and that's how people look at it, and I understand that. But we deal with that, folks, that will choose to put a stand on a tree that's the lion tree. And all you're doing is asking for grumbling because it just makes it look like you're trying to take a deer somewhere you're not supposed to. Even if you don't, it's best to get off that line, aim the stand away from somebody else's property, and always face in on your property. From the standpoint of a safety standpoint, you always want to shoot into your property, not out on somebody else's property where you don't know where other people may be. Always talk about that, Phil. Remember, always don't assume you're the only person on the land you're hunting, even if you're the only person that owns it. Don't assume that. When you see something dark moving, that's absolutely got to be a deer because somebody could be lost on your property, and too many people have been shot in low-light conditions by someone thinking they were a deer. Mm-hmm. So that's our safety tip before we leave today.
That's a good one.
Major,
properly identify your target.
Major, real fast, to piggyback on what you were just saying, say I have some land and I show up there to hunt or to camp or whatever, and I find either evidence that somebody has been poaching on my property or I see somebody on my property, what do you recommend people do?
Always, always call Star OGT, call your OGT line. Go, it's Operation Game Thief, 1-800-922-5431. I just got a text, gentlemen. Make sure we give it the right date. Francis Marion, gun hunts open October 11th, Phil.
Oh.
October 11th.
No, don't can't trust
I just,
Google.
I just had, that's probably for last year, Phil.
Okay.
Probably last year's date. So October 11th this year, just had my good friend and biologist Sam Chapelier save the day for us. October 11th, Francis Marion begins gun hunt. So I appreciate him texting us in that correction.
Yes. Make sure you get that date right. What happens if you
don't go in the tent?
What happens if you go early and they catch you?
Hunting out of season.
That's a big penalty?
Yeah, that'd be bad. Yeah, that would not be good. Mm. Probably lose your license on that one. Not a good one.
Okay.
Not a good one. So, again, if you're going hunting, if you're going to go hunting, make sure
Did we lose you, Major?
I'm here.
Okay. We dropped you. Go ahead. Yep. You said if you're going hunting, then we lost you.
Just go. If you're going to go hunting again, make sure you know where your property boundaries are. Stay on your property. Make sure you always shoot into your property. Don't shoot out over property that's not yours to hunt. Just not a good, safe thing to do. No doubt about it.
That makes great sense. Are you toting a rifle somewhere this weekend? Are you going to be watching tomorrow night the Citadel and Coastal Carolina?
I'm absolutely going to be watching my dogs tomorrow night. Don't know how well we'll do, but I'm absolutely going to be watching, no doubt.
Yeah? Yeah? You excited about the season?
No doubt. Hey, always fun to watch the dogs play. No matter how well they do or don't do, it's fun to watch them play.
You know, I was up there last weekend for my tour stop, meeting with the players, and, of course, I love the campus. And, man, I wish I'd have been there when you were there just to watch you walk tours or something like that. That would have been cool.
Yeah, I bet you would have, yeah. Absolutely. Everybody getting ready for the big weekend, though. You got Virginia Tech Friday night and Clemson, of course, Saturday night with Georgia. So here we go.
You got it.
Football season is upon us.
Well, you have a great start to the dove season. I know you love dove meat because you have a great recipe with the bacon and all that. You know how to cook that up.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that, no doubt about it. And I will get some dove shooting in at some point during this first season, no doubt.
Well, you have a safe weekend. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks here on SC Wild.
All right, so thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. There you go. Major Billy Downer. He is truly the best in the business. This guy, he knows. He might have missed the date, okay? But we had the date wrong, too, thanks to Google.
Yeah, that was my fault. My fault.
Oh.
I looked it up on Google. Was just trying to help him out. We're a team around here. And I gave the disclaimer. Don't trust it, but I was wrong. So you're listening out there, William. I was wrong.
We win as a team, and we lose as a team. Was that last year's date that you gave, maybe, like he said? Was that last year's date? Do you remember? You just don't know?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad we got that right. Great stuff from the Major tonight. Remember, in the future, on SC Wild, you can always call in and talk directly to the man that can answer practically every question about the great outdoors. That'll do it. Thank you, Pat. Thanks to everyone for being with us tonight. We'll be at Coastal tomorrow night watching some football. We'll see you then.